Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf vav. We are holding on daf hey amid beis. We are about 12 lines from the end of the page. Gufa Omar Shmuel. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander and Adam, his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas' mother, Golda Bar Simcha Alda Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They shall return home safely. And also sponsored by Jeremy Lussman in honor of the 100th birthday, Baruch Hashem, of his grandmother, Babi Goldie Cantor, Shishbizoch L'chaim Tovim Va'aruchim, who is celebrating with her family this week in Toronto. Wishing her continued health, happiness, bracha and nachas, Admei Avesim Shana, why aim so low? Let's go beyond Esrim, Eve Esrim. She should be Zocha to many, many good, happy, and healthy years. We thank all the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is, we had mentioned we're going to revisit the machloka. So we had yesterday between Shmuel and Rabbi Yavohu, what happens if Shnayim Shadanu? Do we assume that if two people are Dayanim on a Din Torah and there is no third Dayan, do we assume Dinehem Din or Ein Dinehem Din? So first the Gemara is going to have two challenges to Shmuel, who said that dinehem din, and then we're going to challenge and defend Rabbi Yavohu, who held that ain dinehem din. The Gemara is going to perhaps suggest that it's subject to machlokas tanaim. Then the Gemara is going to talk about pshara. How many dayanim does one need for pshara, and why is that? Why that may be the same or different than din? Then the Gemara is going to have a lengthy discussion whether pshara is a good thing or a bad thing. Is it something that we should strive for and aim for, or is din really what we should be striving for and aiming for? And then the Gemara is going to tell us a little bit about how dayanim and edim should be very careful not to be intimidated when it comes to a din Torah. Sometimes there's a powerful person that's one of the litigants, and they may be intimidated. They may not want to get involved, so they should not be intimidated when dealing with a din Torah. So let's begin 12 lines from the end of the page on daf hey amud beis. Gufa amar Shmuel. So let's go back to what Shmuel taught us back a couple of days ago on daf gimel. Shnayim shadanu dinayim din el shenikra beis chatzuv. That if you have two people that are dan a din Torah, there is force to their din Torah. It is enforceable. It's just that they're called the Bezim Chatzuv because they're violating Takanas Chachamim of having three Dayanim, and they're only two Dayanim. Now Tosus writes, even though Shmuel says Shnayim Shadanu, the same is true if it's Echad Shadan, that it's Dino Din. It just says Shnayim to tell me the Chiddush that even Shnayim is called the Bezim Chatzuv, that Echad is obviously going to be a Bezim Chatzuv. Chatzuv means, Rashi writes, that it's a violation of Takanas Chachamim, and therefore it's a chutzpah. The Chidush Eran, however, quotes that chutzpah might mean from a lashon of being megala something, that everyone's going to know that they were mezaka or they were mechayiv, as opposed to when you have a basin of gimel where you could say each one of the dayanim might have been the miut that was outvoted. But if you have shnayim shadanu and they come to a conclusion, now you know what every dayan held, because they could have only come to a conclusion if both dayanim agreed, and that's the chutzpah, that it's letting out secrets that should not be let out. The Dayanim should be protected from that kind of thing. So that's what the Ran quotes from Yesh Mefarshim. Yosef Rav Nachman Kamal HaShmaita, Rav Nachman was saying over the Shita of Shmuel that Shnayim Shadanu, that their din is in fact binding. So Esvei Rav Rav Nachman, Rav challenged Rav Nachman from a Mishnah we're going to have later on in the Masechta, that Afilu Shnayim Mezakin or Shnayim Mechayvin Vechromer in Yodea, that if you have two of the Dayanim paskening in one direction or the other, and then the third Dayan says, I don't know, Yosifu Dayanim, we have to add extra Dayanim in order that we have three Dayanim paskening on the case. But V'Yisa, but if the din is like Shmuel, that Shnayim Shadanu Dineim Din, Lavu Kishnayim Shadanu, then why don't we just treat it like Shnayim Shadanu? So two of them say Chayiv, one of them says, I don't know, so Chayiv, leave it at Shnayim Shadanu. Why is it so important that we add a third Dayan? The Chidush Haran raises the question, well, Shmuel is only Machshir Shnayim Shadanu Dineim Din, because it's called the Beis Din Chatzuv. He admitted it's called the Beis Din Chatzuv. So what's the Makshin thinking over here? That L'chadchila, we're not going to have to add a third Dayan, that we're going to L'chadchila rely on Shnayim Shadanu. So the Chidush Eran says that the Makshin thought that since initially three people came as Dayanim, it's just in the end, one of them said that I can't be counted among Dayanim because I don't know. So that maybe that's not a Beis Din Chatzuv. Maybe that's not called Chutzpah. Chutzpah is in violating the Takanas Chazal of trying to have have three dayanim. They did try to have three dayanim, it just didn't work out because one of them said Eini Yodea, and the Chiddush Eran says, and that's how I know that Rashi's right about what Beis Din Chatzav means. Beis Din Chatzav must mean that they're going against the Takanas Chachamim, and that's why there's a Hava Amina that if you start with three dayanim, that it's going to be okay, because if Beis Din Chatzav meant what I suggested before, says the Ran, that it's going to be Megala, who voted which way, well then it doesn't help that they started with three. The Kasha is still a strong Kasha, that of course L'chadchila you have to add an extra Dayan, so that people not know which way these two Dayanim voted. But anyway, so the Gemara is asking, if you're going to say that, like Shmuel, that Dineim Din, so why would you have to add an extra Dayan? So answers the Gemara, Shaini Yasim to Meikara Daitin Vlasi Yusivi. Now in that case, they started the Din Torah with three Dayanim, so everyone came in with that understanding that there are going to be three Dayanim involved. So then you need to make sure there are three at the end of the case as well. But hacha, but in the case of Shmuel, Lavadaita Tlasi Yasivi, we're talking about that they started the Din Torah with two Dayanim, and that's it. And Shmuel was Machshir when you have two Dayanim. So Esve, the Gemara now challenges Rav Nachman again with another Kasha on Shmuel. So it's again a second challenge to Shmuel, who said Shnayim Shadonu Dineim Din, that we have a Braiser in order to paskin a din, you need three dayanim. Upshara bishnayim, but to make a pshara, you only need two dayanim. V'yafa koach apshar mikoach adin. And in a certain sense, pshara is more powerful than din. Sheshnayim shadanu, because if you have two people that are done a din Torah, bali din yucholun lachsebehen, the bali din can back out from what the two dayanim paskin. Ushnayim shasu pshara, ain bali din yucholun lachsebehen, but two people do, two dayanim make a pshara, the bali din cannot back out from what the decision of the two dayanim were. They have to be mekayim the pshara because they agreed to do this pshara. So it turns out that Rav Shmuel Gamliel holds shnayim shadanu ein dineim din. So it's a kash on Shmuel. What's Shmuel going to do about that? V'chitem apligi rabban alei Rav Shmuel Gamliel. Maybe Shmuel will tell you, yeah, the chachamim disagree with Rav Shmuel Gamliel, and they hold that the din works even with one dayan, and Shmuel agrees with them. V'am Rabbi Yavo, Shnayim Shadanu, L'divrei HaKol Ein Dineim Din. But Rabbi Yavo told us that no one disagrees. Both the Rabbanon and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel agree that if two people are Dana Din Torah, Ein Dineim Din. So what's Shmuel going to say about that? He has no Tana to agree with him, that old Shnayim Shadanu Dineim Din. So says Gemara, Gavra Gavra Karamis. You're asking from one Amora to another Amora. You're asking, well, how could Shmuel say that there's a Tana that holds like him? Rabbi Avo thinks there's no Tana that holds like him. Okay, Rabbi Avo could think there's no Tana that holds like Shmuel, and Shmuel thinks that there's yes a Tana that holds like him. That's not a Kasha on Shmuel just because another Amora says differently than Shmuel. So Gufa, let's go to Rabbi Avoh Shita. Amar Rabbi Avoh, Shnayim Shadonu Dinim Amnus Divrei HaKol Ein Dineim Din. Rabbi Avoh is of the opinion that all the Tanaim agree that if two people try to be the Dayanim on a Dinim Amnus case, Ein Dineim Din, that it is not a binding din. So Esve, Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Avoh, Rabbi Abba challenges Rabbi Avoh. We have a mission in Becharos, Dona Sadin, Zika Esachai V'chiv V'sazakai. If a person was Dana Din Torah, and in so doing, he was Mezaka, the person who really should have been chayev, or was mechayev the person who really should have been zakai, or for that matter, timei es hatahar, he paskened about tahar peiros that they are tamei, and because of that, they treated them as tamei peiros, and they exposed them to tumah, and they actually made them tamei because the dayan told them that they're tamei, or tier es hatamei, or paskened on peiros that are tamei, and he said that they're in fact tahar, and because of that, they weren't careful, and they were metamei other peiros, so masha, because they assumed that they have these tahar peiros, and really they're tamei peiros, so they allowed these peiros to come in contact with other things, and now they were metamei all sorts of other peiros. Masha asa asui. So even though it was a mistaken psak, the psak is not batel; it's still binding. But the dayan has to pay out of pocket for the damage that he caused. So the lashon of the Mishnah, don es hadin, sounds like we're talking about just one dayan. We're not talking about a bezin of three dayanim. And it says masha asa asui. So doesn't that sound like dino din? That shnayim shadanu dineim din, or for that matter, echad shadan din of din. That it's still masha asa asui. So says Mara hachmayaskinan de kiblu alayu. That's not a problem for Rabbi Yavo. Rabbi Yavo would say that's talking about a case where the Balei Din were makabel this dayan. So if you're makabel, that will go with whatever this guy says. So it's a binding arbitration agreement, and it's not a regular basin. So fine, we'll you could do whatever you want. Well, if they were makabel upon themselves, then why does the dayan? Why is the dayan financially responsible for that? Why does he have to pay out of pocket for the damage that he had done? They agreed to accept whatever he says. So whatever he says is the law. So says no, domrele diante l'din Torah. They agreed to accept as long as he tells them the accurate din Torah. So that was the language of their acceptance, that we accept this one dayan to determine our case, provided that he gets it right. So only if he gets it right. Some of the Rav Safal Rabbi Abba Dita'a B'mai. Well, what exactly is the mistake that we're talking about over here, where we said that if he makes a mistake, even though his din is binding, he's going to have to pay out of pocket? If we're talking about a case where he made a mistake in a Mishnah Mufareshes, Vamrav Sheshes, Rabbi Tabidvar Mishnah Choser. We learned that Tabidvar Mishnah, the whole din is going to be batel, meaning Tabidvar Mishnah means you made a mistake on something that's explicit, that really you should have known better. There's a whole discussion in the poskim nowadays, what's considered Tabidvar Mishnah, meaning in the times of the Gemara, Tabidvar Mishnah means that there's enough in a Mishnah that says this way, so you're paskind against what's beferish in the Mishnah. Now, what if there's a Gemara that says that way? What if there's a Psak and Shulchan Aruch that says that way? Right, what exactly becomes the Dvar Mishnah? But certainly in times of the Gemara, the Mishnah was the Dvar Mishnah. So if you made a mistake in something that should have been obvious, something that's explicit, it's black on white, so then the din is going to be batel. Ella de tab shikla das. So the case must be that it's not tab Dvar Mishnah, that the person made a mistake in shikla das. What does that mean? Heichidami b'shikla das. What does that look like, that a person makes a mistake in shikla das? So Rapapa could go and trade tanai. For example, you have two tanai, which trade or you have two Amoraim, depligia adadi, that disagree with one another, velo itmar hilchasa lo kemar velo kemar, and there is no very clear cut psak halacha, final psak halacha, v'sugin di'alma libidachad minayu, and most of the dayanim hold like the shita of one of them, v'azal iu v'avad ki'idach, but this dayan went against the common practice of the way dayanim go, sahainu shikla das, that's considered a mistake in shikla das. He didn't get it wrong la halacha, because they lived over the kimchayim, and it was not something that was fully decided la halacha, but he went against what the common practice of dayanim is. That's a mistake of shikul hadas, and that's the case of that he's going to be mishalem mi beso. But the din is still going to be binding. If we were a tab bidvar mishnah, the whole din would be reversed. The whole din wouldn't be binding at all. So it says gemara lema katanai. Maybe this machlokas between Shmuel and Rabbi Avohu, where the shnayim shadanu was dineim din or ain dineim din, is really a machlokas tanayim. Bitzua bishlosha, that to make a pshara is with three dayanim. Divrei Rabbi Meir. V'cham omrim pshara biyachid. And the Chum say that to make a pshara could be done with a single dayan. You don't need three dayanim. So the machlokas tanayim over here that we're quoting is about how many dayanim do you need for pshara. So says Gemara, Savua de Kuli Alma Makshin Pshara Latin. So the assumption is that everyone agrees that however many dayanim you need for pshara is going to match the number of dayanim you need for din. So my lab ba'kamifli. And therefore, what they're really arguing about is Demar Sava Din Bishlosha, that a mayor holds that din requires three dayanim, and that's why pshara also requires three dayanim. Umar Sava Din Bishnaim. And the Chum hold that din requires two dayanim, and therefore pshara also requires two dayanim. What else would they be arguing about when they argue about how many dayanim you need for pshara? It must be that they're arguing about how many dayanim you really need for din. So says Gemara, lo. No, that is not the machlokas tanayim. Dukuli alma din bishlosha. It could be that the foundation of this machlokas tanayim about how many dayanim you need for pshara is that everyone assumes you need three dayanim for din. V'hacha ba'akam yefagi. The machlokas about pshara is Demar Savar Makshin Pshara Ladin. Rameir holds we compare Pshara to Din, and therefore, just like by Din you need three Dayanim, by Pshara you also need three Dayanim. Umar Savar Lo Makshin Pshara Ladin. And the Chacham hold that although you need three Dayanim for Din, you do not require three Dayanim for Pshara. That could be the whole machlokas. Now Tosos writes that according to Shmuel, it's for sure tali in this machlokas tanaim that Rameiru requires three for pshara will for sure require three for din, and therefore Shmuel, who's machshir b'shnayim, is definitely saying not like Rabbi Meir, right? Meaning the whole answer is that that it doesn't perfectly align that the machlokas Shmuel and Rabbi Avohu is exactly the machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, because it could be that everyone holds that din requires shlosha like Rabbi Avohu, and all the Tanaim only disagree whether the same is true for Pshara. But how is Shmuel going to explain that? Shmuel holds that you don't need three for din. So how does he explain whether you need three for Pshara or not? He must say, hey, Nachinami, some of the Tanaim are against me, and I'm possibly like one way in the Shita of Tanaim. So it's a little bit unusual, Tosus points out. Normally when that happens, the Gemara lets us know that that's what's happening. Normally the Gemara will say, Libet Shmuel Vadai Tanaihi. According to Shmuel, yeah, it is a Machlokas Tanaim. The Gemara will always say like that. Rabbi Avohu, mi neima Tanaihi. But according to Rabbi Avohu, you don't have to say that it's a Machlokas Tanaim. How come the Gemara didn't say that over here? How come the Gemara didn't spell that out? So Tos HaRash suggests that Shmuel, in fact, is able to hold that even according to Rav Meir, a Yachid Shadan is Dino Din, and Dafka by Pshara, you need three Dayanim. Meaning there is a Svara to say that for Din, you only need one, and by Pshara, you need more. Because when you paskin based on din, so you're paskin based on what the Torah tells us to paskin. So maybe even with one dayan, as long as he's being megala what the Torah tells us, that's good enough. But dafka by pshara, where it's based on the yashrus in the eyes of the dayanim, maybe you can't trust a single person to come up with the most yashar psak. When it comes to a person having to study the Torah and tell me what the das Torah is, so good, one person could tell me what the das Torah is. But when it's the yashrus in their own eyes, maybe I'm going to need more dayan for that. Paras Yosef suggests that the Shita of Shmuel without this brisa is anyway machlokas tanaim, and that's why the Gemara doesn't say it. Meaning the way the Tos HaRash deals with it is saying that maybe Shmuel will also tell you it's not a machlokas tanaim, and the whole machlokas is only by pshara, but by din everyone would agree you don't need three. The way the Paras Yosef says it is enochinami. According to Shmuel, it's got to be a machlokas tanaim, but we knew that anyway before we had this brisa. We knew it was a machlokas tanaim because the Shita of Rav Shmuel Gamliel, we already said is not like Shmuel. So we already know that Shmuel is against some of the Tanaim. So Rabbeinu Yonah raises the question that by din also, if the Balei Din are interested in being mistayin in front of one judge, they're allowed to do so. So since you can only do Pshara with the Rishus of the Balei Din, so Pshara should work just as much as din. Why would you need three? Meaning, what did we just say? That Rav Meir holds Makshin and Pshara Ladin. And therefore, just like you need three Dayanim for Din, so do you need three Dayanim for Pshara. So, Fetter Rabbeinu Yonah, what do you mean need three Dayanim for Pshara? Even by Din, if the Balei Din agree that we'll just go binding arbitration in one person and he'll tell us the Din. So that you're allowed to do that. By Pshara, by definition, you need the agreement of the Balei Din. You can't do Pshara unless the Balei Din agree to submit to Pshara. So you shouldn't need three Dayanim. You can always agree. So if the two Balei Din agree to one person doing Pshara, that should be perfectly fine as well. So the Rabbeinu Yonah suggests that the din of pshara is not as strong as the din Torah, and therefore they're not allowed to agree to a pshara of less than three. Meaning, we do want MS to come out to emerge from the courtroom. So when you're dealing with din Torah, like we said before, even one person maybe can arrive at the din Torah, and that they can agree to accept one person's interpretation of the din Torah. But when you're dealing with that which is just yashar be'eneihem, that which is just what they think is Yashrus, it's too risky that we're going to get far from the MS if you have only one person. So they're not allowed to agree to a pshara of one person. They can only agree to a pshara of three people. That would be the svara of Rabbi Meir, that just like din, when it's being imposed, requires three dayanim, so to pshara, even when it's being agreed to, it's also going to require three dayanim. So says So maybe there are three different shittos in Tanayim about Pshara. Demar Savar B'Shlosha, Rameir holds you need three Dayanim. Umar Savar B'Shnayim. And we had Rav Shmuel Gamliel in the Braisa that said you need two dayanim. Umar savar biyachal, and then we have the chacham. Well, you need only one dayan. Sam Rav Acha b'Reid Rav Ika v'Itema Rav Yemar Bar Shlamya. Really, there are no three shitos. There are only two shitos. Some say pshara could be done biyachal. Some say you need three. Madya Matreya filuchanami. And the shita that had told us that two dayanim for pshara is good enough holds one is good enough as well. The only reason he recommends having two dayanim for pshara is so that you could have Edim to be made about the pshara that was done. Meaning, how are we going to know that this pshara ever happened if you don't have Edim? So therefore, he recommends having two dayanim. But really, the pshara would be binding with one dayan, according to the opinion of Rav Shmuel Gamliel, who said that you need two. So Amar Rav Ashi, Shemami, no, we see from this the pshara ain't tzricha kinyan, that you don't need to do a maisa kinyan in order for the pshara to be chal. Just the psak of the dayanim works to be mezaka one guy and mechayev the other guy. Because if you were going to assume that you require a kinyan, according to the shita that you need three dayanim, why do you need the three dayanim? It should be enough to have two dayanim, and the Balei Din will make a kinyan, one from the other. And once they made a kinyan, you don't need a basin of three dayanim, because the pshara should be no worse than a stam matana, where if you make a kinyan, a matana works, so must be that you don't need. That you don't need a kinyan, and that's why I need the koach of Beis Din in order to paskin a pshara. The hilchus of pshara tzricha kinyan. The halacha, in fact, is that a pshara does require a kinyan, even if it's done with three dayanim. That a pshara, in fact, requires a kinyan. Why isn't it good enough to do with two people and make a kinyan? Because shnayim are not bekiyim enough to know how to make the pshara, Tosfos points out, and therefore it's considered a kinyan betos. Meaning, what happened to the raya we just said? We just said, well, if you have a kinyan, you can do whatever you want. So we assume that Tosfos assumes that there is such a thing called the mekach tos. So we said, oh, it's just like a matana. If a matana was done betos, it's an invalid matana also. So when two people are doing a pshara and when you're doing a kinyan and you don't have enough dayanim, so it's not like a matana because they think they're getting the MS, but you don't have enough dayanim to arrive at the MS. So therefore, even though you need a Beis Din for a pshara, even though you need three dayanim, you need a kinyan as well. A kinyan alone without three dayanim is not going to help. Okay, now the Gemara discusses a little bit more about pshara. Tan Rabbanan, k'shem shadin b'shlosha kach bitzua b'shlosha. Just like din is done with three dayanim, pshara is also done with three dayanim. Nigmar adin iatarash elivtzoa. Once you come to a Gemar din, you're no longer allowed to do pshara. Prior to the Gemar din, you could still encourage a pshara. That's what Rashi writes. Tosfos raises a question. It's not shaykh to do pshara because the zakah, meaning once it's nigmar adin, how would you even have a hava mina to do pshara? Nigmar adin, right? What does nigmar adin mean? Reuven, you're chayiv. You lose. You have to pay $1 million to Shimon. Now you're going to say, let's do pshara. Why would Shimon ever agree to that, right? Once it's nigmar adin, Shimon won, right? So well, why would he ever agree to doing a pshara? It doesn't even make sense to think of doing a pshara. So that's what Tosfos raises the question. So Tosfos suggests that the Dayanim are able to perhaps be mad to him and to say that, oh, wait a second, maybe we made a mistake. Maybe Reuven doesn't really owe Shimon $1 million. Now you guys want to do Pshara? So maybe they would be able to convince Shimon to do Pshara by claiming that they had made a mistake. Tosfos HaRash says that sometimes the Enoch and Ami, they said that Reuven owes Shimon $1 million, but Shimon's looking at Reuven and he's thinking, I'm never going to get this money from him. He's strong, he's elusive, he's evasive, I'm never going to get anything. I'm never going to get $1 million from him. Maybe I'd be better off with Pshara, where maybe I can get something out of him in the end of the day. Meaning he's thinking practically. So maybe even after a Gemar Din, there's a Hava Amina that won that the guy who won in the Din might still submit themselves to Pshara. Or, as Tulsa suggests, maybe they didn't yet say Ish Ploniata Chayiv, Ish Ploniata Zakai. Nigmar Adin means that the Dayanim have in their head, they know, they finished the Masa Umatan, everyone finished their arguments, the Dayanim are now processing all the information that they have, and they're ready to go, but they didn't reveal yet. So before they reveal the Psak, do you guys want to do Pshara? That's the Hava Mina, that they're still allowed to do Pshara. So that's what the Gemara tells me. No, Iyat HaRashe Livtzoa. Okay, Sarmash Ban Kash Simon. So the Simon over here is just for the names of the Tanaim that we're about to quote. That it's Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shua, Rabbi, Rabbi Shua ben Manasi, Rabbi Shua ben Lakish, so Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. So we're going to have all these different Tanaim. So Rabbi Lazar ben Oshel, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Omer. Also Livtzaba. You're not allowed to do a Pshara. V'kala B'tzaya Reza Chotein. One who implements a Pshara is sinning. V'kala M'varichas B'tzaya. And someone who gives chizik to someone who's doing a Pshara, Hareza Minayit. It's mocking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'alzeh Ne'emar. And that's what the Pasuk in Tehillim means. B'tzaya Berich Niyetz Hashem. That someone who's M'varich B'tzaya, a person who makes Pshara, is being Megadif Es Hashem. It's like he's cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah Chaim says that the Pasuk is coming to tell me that you shouldn't think that a dayan did a mitzvah that l'kala pachos, he was mechayiv the person to be mishalim part of what he owes, so it's mutter to be mevarichim. No, we're saying that if you're mevarichim, you need Hashem because it's a mitzvah baba avera. Because how did you get him to pay half of what he owes? By exempting him from the other half of what he owes. So that's not okay. Ella, so what should you do? Yikov adin sahar. Go with din. Shneimar ki amishpat lelukimu. V'chein Moshe ha'yomer. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu said to the shoftim. Yikov adin sahar. That you should that we should follow din. Right? He said lo sagur mipreish ki amishpat lelukimu. And by pshara, which is submitting, which is where both parties submit to something and agree to something, then it's not. What do you mean lo saguru? There's no one to be fearful of because it's both parties agreeing to. So it's showing us the chashivus of din. Aval Aaron, but Aaron HaKohen was different. Oh, if shalom v'rod if shalom. U'meisim shalom v'nad l'chavero. He always tried to make both sides happy, and that's what he would do. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says about Aaron HaKohen, in the Pasuk of Malachi, Torah semes haisa b'fiu, v'avlo l'nimtso b'svasov, b'shalom u'v'mishar halochiti, v'rabim heishim me'avon. That the Torah that he taught people did not veer from the MS. He never said anything that was untrue. His derech was always to create shalom between different people, and to lead them on the right path, because for the Tzivrei Hashem, and he through his instruction, a lot of people avoided doing averos that they otherwise would have done. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Haresha Gazel, Sa Shalchitim. Rabbi Eliezer says, you know what the pasuk means when it says Botzei Berich Nietz Hashem? If a person stole a sa'a of wheat, v'tachna, and he grinds it up into flour, va'afa'a, and then he bakes bread with it, v'ifrish mimena chala, and he's mafresh chala, the Rishon struggle. Why does it say va'afa'a, v'ifrish mimena chala? Hafrashas chala is mishas lisha. Hafrashas chala is not Mishas Afia, so it's a little bit strange that it says Afa. Tosfos says that because the Gemara in Pesachim says that there are things that you're only chayiv in chala la'achar Afia, that you only become chayiv in chala la'achar Afia, such as sufganin. So there's a dafim coincidence. So your mafresh mimena is sufganin. It probably does not mean sufganiyot, but just to be honest. So mafresh mimena chala. So your mafresh chala from it. Ketzan mevarich. How do you say your bracha on this mitzvah? That you got b'gzeila ain't a mevarich on the menait. That's not being mevarich. That's being menait. That's what that pasuk in Tehillim was talking about. Rameir Omer lo nemar b'tzeya el keneged Yehuda. When we talk about b'tzeya berach nietz Hashem, we're actually talking about Yehuda from this past week's parsha. More direct, if you have a coincidence, shenemar vayomer Yehuda elachiv ma betza ki narog esachinu. What benefit are we going to have from killing Yosef? We might as well sell him and make a couple of bucks. V'kalam mevarichas Yehuda reza minayitz. Anyone who's mevarich Yehuda for doing this is being megadif l'fnei hamakom, because since he, whatever he was going to say, people were going to listen to what he should have said was not to sell him, bring him back to dad and save him. Sometimes the leader doesn't realize how much control he has, how much power he has. So Yehuda underrated his own ability to save Yosef. That whatever he was going to say, they were ready to listen to. They were looking for leadership. So when he said we should sell him, they all listened. He could have said let's bring him back. So by compromising and coming up with something that's less than killing him, that's not a good compromise. Rabbi Shimon Karcha Shomer mitzvah levtzala. Rabbi Shimon Karcha takes a very different tone. He says there's a mitzvah to be boteya, to make a pshara. Shneimar emes u'mishpat shalom shiftu b'sha'areichem. The halacha b'makom sheyesh mishpat ein shalom. It says you should have mishpat and shalom. You should have justice and peace. Well, if there's justice, there is no peace because everyone thinks that they're right. So peace is only when everyone comes to grips with it. But if there's justice, one person is wrong, so no one's happy with it. So the person who's wrong isn't happy with it. And if there's peace, that everyone's happy, well, then it's a sure sign that ain't mishpat, that it wasn't justice. As a ela izu mishpat sheyesh b'shalom, where do you ever have justice that's peaceful as well? Haviyom zebitzua. That's if you have a pshara that's krovel adin, where there's mishpat in the fact that they did something that's karov ledin Torah, and there's shalom because they didn't fight it out. They came to an agreement that made sense. Lefi seichel hayashar, right? That's what Rav Shach always calls from a salvechik. That pshara doesn't mean that you just split it 50-50. Pshara means that you come up with a psak that both sides could understand the logic of it. That both sides could understand, okay, this makes some sense. That this is a reasonable mahalich. V'chein b'David u'omer, and says by David HaMelech and Sefer Shmuel Beis, v'yi David also mishpat u'tzdaka l'chal amot, it says. V'alo kol makom sheyesh mishpat, how could it be mishpat and tzedakah? Wherever there is mishpat ain't tzedakah, then it's not tzedakah. Mishpat means justice is served. Tzedakah means that you're going out of your way to be extra nice to somebody. U'tzdaka ain't mishpat. If there was tzedakah, then it's not MS. Someone was mevater to the other party. Eleizu mishpat sheyesh bo tzedakah. What is something that balances both mishpat and tzedakah, or accomplishes both mishpat and tzedakah? Haviyomer zebitzua. That's if you have a pshara that the baal din that was mevater a little bit from himself did tzedakah, and the pasuk tells us that David would always make pshara. So you see that it's a good thing to make a pshara. So asan l'tanakama. The following drasha follows the tanakama, meaning according to the sheet of Rav Blaz Menoshe Yosei Aglili, who holds that it's usher to do bitzua, and he does not explain that David made pshara. No, David did not do pshara because you're not allowed to do pshara. So that is reflected in the following teaching. Donas hadin zikas hazakai v'chiyev v'sachayev. A person is dan adin Torah and he's mizaka. One person is mechayev the other person. V'ra'ash and is chayev ani mamon, and he sees that the ani is going to be mechayev mamon v'shilim lo mitoch beso, and therefore the dayan, feeling bad that the ani doesn't have can't afford to lose this case, is about to lose this case, so the dayan takes out of pocket to pay the other party. So zeh mishpat utzdaka. That's both mishpat and tzdaka. Mishpat lazeh utzdaka lazeh. Justice is served for the person who was owed the money, and it's tzedakah for the ani who couldn't afford to pay the judgment against him. Mishpat lezeh shechzer lamamon. It's mishpat to the person whose money was returned to him. Utzdakah lezeh sheshilim lo mitoch beso. And it's tzedakah to the ani because instead of the ani having to pay, the dayan is paying out of pocket. And that's what David HaMelech used to do, that he would do mishpat utzdakah. And that's in the parentheses. V'chem b'david u'omer v'yid David also mishpat utzdakah. That David HaMelech used to do this all the time. So asks the Gemara, Kasha le the Rebbe, Hai l'chalamo la'aniyim ibayilei. Well, if tzedakah that David HaMelech did was to pay for the ani when the ani couldn't afford it, how do you say that he did tzedakah l'chalamo? No, he did tzedakah for the aniyim that came to court and couldn't pay the judgment against them. That wouldn't be l'chalamo. So Ella, so Rebbe instead suggests, Af al pi shaloshi lemitoch beso. Even though David did not pay out of pocket, the person who the judgment was against had to pay up. Zeh mishpat tzedakah. It's still mishpat tzedakah. Mishpat lezeh tzedakah lezeh. Mishpat lezeh sheyechzer lamamon tzedakah lezeh. Shaltzik zeh lemitachas yado. That tzedakah doesn't necessarily mean that I take money and I give it to a guy. Tzedakah means I make the person's life better. So if a person owes money to somebody else, that money should be burning a hole in his pocket. He's carrying around a klala with him wherever he goes. So by unburdening him of this aveira of owing somebody else money, even though it's not comfortable for him, he's not happy that there was a judgment against him, he's not happy that he had to pay, but by enforcing that the person who actually owes money has to pay, it's the greatest tzedakah you could do with the person to help him do what he really is obligated to do. It's not mean, it's being nice to the person that you're helping him you're helping him do what he's religiously and morally obligated to do. So the word tzedakah doesn't mean literally tzedakah. It means you did a taiva with him. That's how the Marsha says. In the Yifei Mara, he raises the question, what's the shevach that we're praising David for doing this? Every dayan does this. Meaning, now we say, oh, David, he was special. Mishpat tzedakah. Well, that's dayanus. One person's chayiv, the other one's patus. You're mechayiv the person. So he says, the pasuk is not telling me that David had this great maila above other dayanim. It's telling us that the reason Yoav was matzliach in his milchama was because David was doing mishpat karaui. Meaning it's not a given that batei din are always set up in the best possible ways, where mishpat utzdaka is always being implemented the way it's supposed to be implemented. David HaMelech had a very good system of how the batei din were set up, that it was actually coming out, that everything was proper, everything was being done properly. And in that zuchus, Yoav was able to be matzliach in all the milchamos that he was fighting. So that's what we're praising David, even though in a chinami, every honest dayan also does this kind of mishpat utzdakah. Right? According to the other opinion, that tzedakah means he paid out of pocket, not every dayan does that, right? So then you understand that would have been unique to David. If two people come to a din Torah in front of you, before you hear the tainos, or if you hear the tainos, but you don't yet have a sense of which direction the case is going, you could still tell them, go and make a pshara. But once you hear their arguments and you see which direction it's going to go in, you're no longer allowed to tell them to go out and make a pshara, because you're not allowed to mislead the guy who's going to otherwise win the case. Shenemar, because the pasuk says in Mishlei, Poter Mayim Reishis Madon, that if you want to get rid of arguments and fights, so and to make shalom, you have to do that at the beginning of the din. Reishis Madon, V'lefnei Eskala Hariv Nitosh. So Kodem Sheneskala Hariv, before the argument is exposed and based in as far as who holds what, Ata Yachal Nacho, you can prevent them from being done, and they'll make a pshara. Mishen eskala ariv. But once it's already exposed in bezin, yati yachal nacho. Then you're not allowed to avoid the din and go to pshara instead. So it turns out that in the end of this sugya, we have four shitos about pshara. The shita of Rabbi Shua ben Karcha was that it's a mitzvah for the dayan to suggest that the bali didn't make pshara, and that's what Rav paskins. The shita of the Tanakama, that a dayan is allowed to make pshara so long as there's no gemar din, but there's no mitzvah to suggest it, and Rabbi Lozor may agree with that. The sheet of Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya that calls man that you don't know which way the din is going to go, then it's a good idea to make pshara. But once you know which way it's going to go, you don't have to wait for the gemar din. But meaning even way before the gemar din, once you know which way it's headed, you're not allowed to make pshara. And the sheet of Rabbi Lozor ben Shimon ben Yossi that as soon as two people come to the din Torah, it's already too late to make pshara. If they're coming for din, you're not allowed to veer them away from din and toward pshara. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amr Shnaim Shabo Ledin, Echad Rach Vechad Kasha. Two Balei Din come in front of you. One of them is softy and one of them seems to be a very tough fellow. Achlo Tishma Devrein, Omish Tishma Devrein, Viyat Yodei Lechad Dinota. Before you hear their arguments, or even if you hear the arguments but you don't yet know which direction the case is going, Atarashi Lomelen Einan Yizkak Lechem, you can still recuse yourself of participating in the Din Torah. Shemin Eschayiv Nimsa Chazak Rodfo, because you're afraid that in the Schayiv Chazak that you're going to be Mechayiv, the stronger guy, and he's going to chase after you and cause you all sorts of tzaras. But Misha Tishma Devrein Vati Yadei Lechem Adinota. But once you already opened the case and you already heard what the arguments and you know which direction it's going, you're not allowed to say, I beg off of this case. Because the halacha is, you're not allowed to be fearful of a human being. Rabbi Shua, in the context of being a dayan, Rabbi Shuman, Karchom Renayin, the Talmud Shiyoshev, Lefei Rabbah, why do I know that if a Talmud is sitting in front of his Rebbe, and he sees a way to be Mizaka the Ani and be Mechayiv the Ashir in the Din Torah, Minayin Shlo Yishtok, how do I know that he should not keep quiet because he doesn't want to, he doesn't want to argue on his Rebbe, or, he doesn't want the Ashir to get angry at him for whatever reason? So Shnemar, Lo sagur mipnei ish, because it says, don't be afraid of anybody, not your Rebbe and not the Ashir. Say what needs to be said. It means do not withhold your words because of an ish. The Edim have to know that if they're Meir Edu Sheker, that it's not only about the Balei Din, it's about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu is watching all of this, and he's going to pay them back. That it's all about Hashem. So Hashem Yomer Adayin Mali Betzarezeh. So Adayin might say, so what do I need this for? If it's so high risk, high stakes for me that I could get punished. Tamalomer Imachem B'Dvar Mishpat. Ein Lo L'Adayin El Mashe Ein Of Ra'os. That Adayin is only expected to paskin that which he's able to see and just give his best honest to goodness p'sach. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up on the bottom of the page. Have a great day, everybody.